So there's a Lamut pastime that there's Prabhupada's servant who could not accept that man had not gone to the moon, and then afterwards he left. And then sometimes it is said that because he did not have faith, because he did not fall, accept the principle of accepting the spiritual master, that's why he left. This causes conflict. Actually, the Lilamrit is a biography of Srila Prabhupada, and no biography by its very nature can be exhaustive. So I was in New York, I had gone to meet Satsurup Maharaj. So Satsurup Maharaj himself is now working on editing a few things. He is quite old, so he has delegated it to some other people. So there were things which were the background of a particular devotee. There are many things which may not be known. So Satsurup Maharaj had Prabhupada departed, and immediately after that he had to write that book. So one thing that came to be known later is that there is another incident that happened. That this particular Prabhupada's servant, he was observing Prabhupada very carefully. Always, and actually he was around, sometimes critically. So he saw once, there was this young girl, Saraswati. So Prabhupada was playing with her. He was just increasing grandfatherly affection for her in his heart, for him in her heart. So then, so Prabhupada had been given a garland. And there was a flower coming up. Prabhupada took that garland and gave it to her. And she didn't know what to do. She just opened her mouth. Prabhupada put the flower in her mouth. And she just smiled and she was very happy. So he observed this and he said, what is this? Sannyasi is playing with a girl like this. Now it was, you know, it was just a grandfather and a daughter. So from that point of time, he started developing doubts. And his issue about the moon, that was a surface. And that was, so this whole background, later on, he told other devotees. But at that time, Satsurup Maharaj wrote Lilamrit, he did not know about that. So Lilamrit, it is said that because he could not accept it, that's why he left. But that was only the surface. So there are other issues. And that's why he left. So now we don't have to make that issue of the moon landing into a big issue of conflict. Because Prabhupada himself writes in the Ishopanishad that there are three ways that one can go to the moon. One is by, after we, if we have done punya, then the next life we go to the moon in a higher body. Another is that people by yogic powers, they can travel through mystic means. And third is, he said, by spacecrafts. So, within the Vedic context, we see that there are people who have gone through the higher levels of reality also. And Prabhupada's point is completely different. Prabhupada's point is that the Chandra Loka is a higher planetary system. And there people cannot trespass without the requisite karmic qualifications. So now Sadaput Prabhu has explained in Vedic cosmology, Vedic cosmography. It's one of his important books. Sadaput Prabhu was a prominent devotee scientist, Dr. Cheryl Thompson. And he says that if we consider the point of Chandra Loka being a higher planetary system. So, Chandra Loka is, if it's higher, it's not made of the kind of matter that we have. You know, it's a higher planetary system. In the Devtas, whenever it is said that they come to the earth, quite often even in the yogic sacrifices are performed, and after the sacrifices are performed, the Devtas come here. Often they accept the fruit of the sacrifice without being visible to people. So, if their body, if the Devta's body is made of subtle matter, then even their planet may be made of subtle matter. It's not that, you know, you have a subtle body and you need a gross chair for sitting a subtle body. No, everything will be of subtle matter over there. So, Chandra Loka is, it's a heavenly system. Because it's heavenly, it's very different. So even when we talk about the various kinds of oceans that are there in the fifth canto cosmology, ocean of this, ocean of that, that is not like the gross physical ocean that we talk about. So if Chandra Loka itself is a subtle thing, then how is it then how is the moon visible to us? So that is explained by one of the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas. He says that many of the planetary objects that are described in the fifth canto cosmology, they require a certain qualification to see. And that's why we may not be able to see them. But the Chandra is something which we need for astrological calculations to calculate proper tithis, to do proper activities. And that's why, although we do not have the qualification to see, we are granted that vision. So what we see is not the moon that we see in the sky, that is not the complete Chandraloka. That is simply some kind of projection of Chandraloka that we are allowed to see for our purposes. Our purposes means for astrological calculations. So that means there is Chandraloka which is a subtle planet in a, made of subtler elements. And there is a gross projection of that which is what is visible to us. And that gross projection does not have everything that Chandraloka has. It's simply a projection for our perception, for our decision making. So this projection which is there, that is accessible by human vision, and that may be accessible by human locomotion. So that may be accessible by human locomotion means that we may go using we may travel in three-dimensional space using a machine and go to what we call as moon. And the moon is a projection of Chandraloka. Moon is not the same as Chandraloka. It's a projection of Chandraloka which is within three-dimensional space, which is perceivable for us. So Chandraloka itself as a complete heavenly planet, that is something which is not perceivable for us. It's made of a different matter, it's a different kind of matter, which is not visible to us. So we don't have to make the moon landing into an issue. Prabhupada's point is simply that we cannot trespass into higher planetary systems without the requisite karmic qualifications. That is valid. We cannot go to Chandraloka. We cannot go to Chandraloka without the adequate qualifications. But moon, which is simply a three-dimensional projection of Chandraloka, that is something which we can access. We may have access to it, we may access it in future using greater technology. That does not make any difference, because we, wherever we go, even if we are able to go to water of Chandra, even if somehow human being managed to go to Swarga, it is not that with our eyes we will be able to see anything in Swarga, because everything in Swarga is made of subtle matter. So this is the point Srila Prabhupada is making, is simply that we shouldn't get, there are other passages also, you know, one thing that happens within our moment is sometimes we take one position of Prabhupada and make that the absolute position. This is what Prabhupada said. But if we analyze all the statements of Prabhupada on the moon landing, the statements fall in three broad categories. One is, they never went to the moon. Second is, they went out of space, but they went somewhere, not to the moon. Third is, they went to the moon, but they did not access the moon. For that, Prabhupada gives the example, if some extraterrestrial lands in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and then look all around, probe all around and say there's no human being here. And they go back and say the earth is uninhabited. So they have not accessed the earth at all. So basically, Prabhupada has made all the three kinds of statements. And there is no need to lock Prabhupada to one position, saying that Prabhupada said man did not go to the moon. Prabhupada did not say that. Now for Prabhupada, that was not a very consequential thing. We see right in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes, so, man has labored a lot to raise himself to the moon, but he has not labored to raise his consciousness. And if he raises his consciousness, there will be so much more benefit. So here, Prabhupada is taking a completely non-confrontational attitude towards the moon landing. He's not saying man did not go to the moon, you see, he labored very hard to go there, but labor for this purpose also. So again, among these three positions, you know, whether man did not go out of the earth itself, or man went out of the earth but not to the moon. Third, man went to the moon but did not access Chandraloka. These are all three statements made by Prabhupada. And using our intelligence in our particular situation, we can present whichever position is best. So there is no need to make it into a conflict issue. So some devotees may love to make it into a conflict, but that's not necessary. No, there are I met Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj only once, and he said that that book Life Comes from Life, which was a basically a conversation of Prabhupada with him and some other devotees. So he says that that is a private conversation of Prabhupada with him and with his trusted disciples. He says, I never like to distribute that book to scientists, because Prabhupada is not speaking to scientists over there. So the point is that we don't have to we don't have to reduce Prabhupada to his most confrontational position and think this is what Prabhupada is. Many times devotees, when they want to quote something about Prabhupada, they want to find the most sensational thing. And that catches attention in classes. And that catches attention in classes, and when that catches attention in classes, that's what gets circulated, and that's what we think is Prabhupada's position. But Prabhupada was a very, very profound individual, and he took different positions at different times. So the confrontational sound bites may have sensational appeal, and they may attract a certain kind of people. But Prabhupada did not only speak like that. There are many other things also Prabhupada spoke, and we have to have a balanced understanding so that we can represent our founder Acharya properly and represent properly the tradition that he brought to us. Does that answer the question? Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.